1 Peter chapter 3. So thankful for you being here this evening. Great job, fellas. Did you enjoy that? I did too. Great song. 1 Peter chapter 3. Find your place in 1 Peter. We're going to go to another familiar passage in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Those two places we'll read. Ephesians chapter 5 and 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin in 1 Peter chapter 3, which is what started this. In verse number 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. That word subjection, talking about submissiveness. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Look at verse 5. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection of their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's read in verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I want to talk tonight about the wife's role in marriage. The wife's role in marriage. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I pray that you'll help us. Help us all in this message. Speak to our hearts through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, there is a movement in America that has hurt the family. In fact, the New York Times wrote about this movement and the damage that it did on the family, the American home, and that is the feminist movement. And today, it's 2019 study, showed that 68% of women now identify as a feminist. 68% of American women identify as a feminist. In 2017, this is what the New York Times wrote. In 2017, the poverty rate for women-headed families with children was 36.5% compared to a 22.1% of father-only families and a 7.5% for families headed by a married couple. Abundant data shows married adults are happier, healthier, and wealthier than singles. Feminism has created an onslaught attack on our family. We have been over this. We have talked about the egalitarianism versus the complementarianism, that there is biblical that there are roles in the family, that there is a role for the wife and that there is a role for the husband. Last week we talked about the role for the husband and enjoyed that, the husband's role as a leader, the husband's role as a learner, the husband's role as a lover in the home. And we looked at that biblically. And now the wife has a role. We look at the wife's role, and it very plainly lays out in four places in the Bible that the wife's role, number one, is to submit. It's to submit. The reason some men don't bring the boss home for dinner is because she is already there. Amen? One counselor recorded a wife who said, "That's my side of the story. Now let me tell you his side." We have, and the feminist movement has put out there that there is no role for the wife, that there is no roles in the marriage, that the wife should take over the lead in a marriage. that is becoming very popular, that the women lead. In fact, it's becoming popular that the women lead behind the scenes. Now, if the man is supposed to lead, the man's supposed to lead in public and behind the scenes. Amen? And so we have come to the wife's role, understanding that we, as a family, have roles, and the wife's role is to submit. Now, what is submission? Well, let me say what submission is not. Submission is not merely a concept just for women. Submission is for men too. Submission is for many different groups of people. Did you know that we must submit to the authority God's put over us in the church? We must submit to the authority God's put over us in the government. We all have our times that we need to submit. And so submission, not just for ladies, it's not just a concept. Submission does not mean that the wife becomes a slave. And we talked about that last week, the narcissistic leadership style. Women are not slaves to men. Men should never treat their woman, their women, ladies, like a slave. Their wives are not the slave. They're not the slave. Submission does not mean that the wife never opens her mouth, never has an opinion, or never gives advice. Okay, fellas, we welcome their advice. We want them to talk, okay? They have, God's given them the liberty to speak, all right? Don't silence your wives. Say, you should be in submissive and it should be subject and subjection. Hey, don't silence your wife. The Bible says in Proverbs 31:26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. Submission does not mean that the wife becomes a wallflower. The wife is not a wallflower who folds up and allows her abilities to lay dormant. No, we look at the Proverbs 31 lady that there is a lot that she does. She's not just a wallflower in the home. Submission does not remove freedom. It allows for it. Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior to the husband. Did you hear that? Submission does not mean that the wife is inferior to the husband. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ. That's the importance. We are all important. The wife is just as important to the home as the husband is. We agree on that? A wife's submission is in the context of her walk with the Lord. Let's turn to Ephesians. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. And right before, in verse 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves. Now, before that, what does it talk about? And verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What's he talking about there? That's what happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. As a saved person, as a wife that who is a Christian, a child of God, you ought to be filled with the Spirit. And in being filled with the Spirit in your Christian life, flowing from that, you're in obedience in your role in your marriage. And it begins with being obedient to God. A biblical wife starts with being a child of God. The emphasis on being imitators of God. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 1 in this chapter. Be therefore followers of God. This morning we talked about being disciples. What does that mean? Being a learner or a follower of God. And so the emphasis is on being imitators of God. The emphasis is on walking in love. Look at verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. There's an emphasis there on walking in love. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 also says, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Well, there's a sacrifice there. The emphasis is on being filled with the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And so this is all a walk of Christianity. It's all our Christian walk, ladies. And as we're walking as in our Christian walk, being filled with the Spirit, trying to imitate Christ, being his disciple, and loving as he loves, and walking in the word of God, obedience to the role that God has given you starts becoming natural. You see how that works? See how that works? There's an emphasis on being filled with the Spirit, as we said. So what is submission? What is submission? Submission is a divine plan for function and order. It's a divine plan for function and order. Who planned it? I think that's the important part of this, isn't it? Who made this plan? Who put this plan together? Not man. It wasn't some husband who said, we need control of our wives. That wasn't it. It was God. God created man and woman, male and female, separate. He created them to become one and come together and become different in their functionality in the home. And we have some differences. There's a divine plan there. But what is submission? It's also, listen to this, ladies, it's an attitude towards God. Now catch this. It's an attitude towards God. Catch this, because the attack on the role of a wife is an attack on the attitude towards men. You with me? They want you to have a bad attitude towards men. They want you to look down on the man. What submissiveness is not raising up the man, but raising up God. It's an attitude. It's your attitude towards God and his divine plan. It's an act of will. It's a choice. We want you to be happy in your choice to follow God. John chapter 13, verse 17. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. A wife's submission is an act of obedience to the Lord. You have a choice, don't you? When God gives us a command, we have a choice. You either obey or you disobey. God's given us a command as roles in the home. And what do? We either obey or we disobey. And we have a choice, ladies. You have a choice. You either obey in submission or you disobey. It is a command given to the wife. But it's also, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? Church. And he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, it is a picture of the church obeying Christ. And that's something. The wife is a picture of the church, who's supposed to put ourselves as the church, under submission to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you ever seen churches that have gone off the Word of God, the foundation of the Word of God? If the foundations be destroyed, what happens? The house falls. And we've seen churches who get off the foundation, who say, I am no longer being in submission to God. We're going to do our own thing. God really didn't mean that. God really didn't mean that. And we were not in submission to God. What happens to those churches? They fall apart. They fall apart. And what happens to the home? What happens to the home where there's not submission? Falls apart. Falls apart, just like the picture of the church. You know, this word submissiveness, the word submit or fall into subjection, it's a military term, and it means this, to arrange yourself and rank under. To arrange yourself and rank under. There are four other times in Scripture that it talks about this. Ephesians chapter 5, 22, Colossians 3, 18, Titus 2, 5, and 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. It deals with this submissiveness, subjection. But look at verse 22 again at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Let's look at this. It says, as unto the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Thus, the wife is urged to submit herself to her husband as to the Lord, for her submissive attitude is to be in response not to any intrinsic superiority of her husband, but to the design of a sovereign God who has placed her in that submissive role. The author of that quote is Lifton. We ought to be playing our role, obeying God and the role he has put us in. And wives, that would be being submissive. It's a picture of church being submissive. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, it says this. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. What does that mean, Pastor Creed? That means this. Ladies, are you listening? You ought to be submissive until your husband tries to command you to sin. Did you hear me? The husband has no right to push you to sin, to lead you to sin, to order you to sin. And when he does, he's putting his authority against God's authority. And the Bible clearly states that we ought to obey God rather than man. A wife being submissive to her husband is a wife being obedient to God. Did you get that? A wife being submissive to her husband is a wife being obedient to God. So the first role we see is being submissive. Now, that's not a popular thing in this world. It really isn't. But it pleases God, right? And what are we here to do? Be popular! No, we're here to please God. What's next? Well, in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, let me read this to you. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that men should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And what was that? Adam was made a helpmeet. Her name was Eve. A wife who desires to be godly must remember the more she obeys God's word, the more she can take advantage of the biblical resource God has given to protect her. She is a helper to her husband. Max says this, as the key is to the lock, so is the wife to her husband. What a help that is. Her role is one of a completer. She is a helpmeet. The help here talks about, it deals with the word aid, one who helps. The same Hebrew word is used 21 times in the Old Testament. 15 of the 21 times refers to the Lord as our helper. It certainly is not a demeaning term, amen? Think about that, ladies. Your command and as a role in as a wife is to be a helper as the Lord is a helper. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? Psalm chapter 121, verse 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The word meet here, a help meet, means completing or complementing, corresponding to, fitting together. Eve was designed as someone that would help or aid to complete him, to fit together with him. Eve wasn't made from the dust. She was made from the man. Did you get that? Eve was not made from the dust. She was made from the man. Eve was to be Adam's helper. Her role is one of companionship. She is her husband's best friend. You ought to be your husband's best friend. Guys, allow your wife to be your best friend. Ladies, strive to be your husband's best friend. Desire to be around and communicate with your husband. Desire to be there for your husband. Desire to understand and learn more about what your husband needs. Because you are here to help meet those needs. She sacrifices and submits and shares her life with her husband. She is a loyal supporter. She seeks his welfare. Her role is one of a co-laborer. She is a helpmeet in building the home and managing the home and providing for the home. Her role is one of a confidant. She has her husband's complete trust. She brings him good, not harm. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 11 says this: "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." Verse 12 says this: "She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Her role is one of a counselor. She provides wisdom. She is a wife counselor. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, and it goes on through verse 20 and verse 27. It says this: "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Hear counsel and receive instruction, thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Verse 27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the works of knowledge." We have the wives must be submissive. The wives must be a helper, a helpmeet, there to help. Also, number three, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Let's look at verse 33 together. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Respect. Respect. "Well, Pastor Creed, you just don't know my husband." Let me say something here. Wives, you will know every one of your husband's weaknesses. And a lot of those weaknesses will probably get on your nerves. Those weaknesses may be getting on your nerves quite a bit. However, find your husband's strengths. Praise him for his strengths. Encourage him in his strengths. Help him with his weaknesses. Did you hear that? We have it backwards sometimes. We shout out his weaknesses. We're quiet about his strengths. Help him where he's weak. Her role is one of reverence. Accept. You say, how do I respect my husband, Pastor, how do I respect him? Accept his will. Show confidence in his decisions. Show confidence in his decisions. "Where do you want to go to eat tonight, sweetie?" "I don't know, you pick." "I want to go to a Waffle House." "That's a horrible restaurant. Why would you pick the Waffle House?" She's right. I mean, how do we handle that? That'd be great, sweetie, as long as I'm with you, right? As long as you're paying, amen? But we ought to be respectful, show confidence in his decision, be flexible about his priorities. This is something, isn't it? We have different priorities, don't we? Our priorities come from our different views of life. Did you know that men view life differently? I'm going to give you an example. Yesterday, we had a birthday party up at the gym. I was looking for a coffee filter. I employed Chris Jury to help me come look for a coffee filter. We were looking for all through all the drawers everywhere for a coffee filter. There was a birthday party with all these children running around, and there was no coffee. You don't know what that would do to a pastor. And I was looking desperately for a coffee filter. And for hours upon hours, not really. We were looking, Chris and I were looking, and Melissa comes over, opens the drawer closest to the coffee maker. And guess what was in there? The coffee filters, right? How many of you have ever experienced that? Ladies, be respectful, okay? There's a different perspective, isn't there? Men, we have a lot on our mind. There's things that go through our minds. And ladies, your priorities may be different. Ladies, priorities of a clean house may be a different priority than the fellas. Fellas, we're just worried about everything running right. Air conditioner running right, good. Dishwasher running right, good. Refrigerator running right, that's great. I don't care if the refrigerator has the dairy on the bottom or if the vegetables are in this place. I don't care about that. I just want the refrigerator running. That's my job. The lady's view, the lady's perspective is, well, we want it nice and neat and clean. And that's great. You see how that fits together? We make sure the refrigerator is running. The ladies make sure it's clean and filled. Amen. There's different perspectives. And ladies, be flexible. Be flexible about his perspective. Be truthful. Be upfront and truthful. And follow through on your promises. This goes for both of us. Follow through on your promises. There was a man who had worked all his life and saved a lot of money. But boy, he was greedy. He had all this money, and he was greedy with it. Just before he died, on his deathbed, he asked his wife to come in. He said, listen, I don't want anybody else to get my money. I need you to get all my money out. I need you to get all my money, and I want you to put all my money in my casket when I die. Would you promise this? Promise me this. She said, yes, I'll promise you. So the funeral came, and she came and dropped off this big envelope, put it right into the casket. And the friend who heard the conversation shook her head, went up to the wife, says, I can't believe this. You actually went through with it. What are you going to live on? You put all the money in the casket. She said, I had to be a good wife. I had to keep my word. I wrote him a check. Be truthful. Be honest. Be upfront. Listen to this. Don't resent his past failures. Don't resent his past failures. By the way, you know him better than anybody else. Don't use them as a way of getting your way. Don't use them as ammunition to try to get your way, ladies. Don't use them as a way to justify your sins. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 deals with what if the husband is not biblical? Look at it. Verse number 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, only if they follow and obey God too. Is that what it says? No. that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You have a wayward husband, a husband that's not obeying the Bible. You can be a light to that husband, a beacon of hope for that husband. Build loyalty to him in the children. Build loyalty to him and the children. If you do not respect him, the children won't respect him either. If you don't respect your husband, the children's not going to. Don't degrade your husband in front of the children. Don't put down your husband. Make sure your children know you love your husband. Make sure your children see how you respect your husband. Be grateful to him. Express your gratitude often. Look for ways to be grateful. Look for creative ways to be grateful. Never correct him in public. If he makes mistakes, bring it up privately. You have the right, by the way, to bring up mistakes in a meek manner. You have the right to confront your husband in a meek spirit, with a meek spirit. But not in front of everybody. Don't degrade him in public. Respect will go a long way to help your husband be the leader God called him to be. Good marriages are not the result of finding the right person. They're the result of being the right person. Good marriages are not the result of finding the right person. They're the result of being the right person. Husbands, be a biblical husband. Learn, love, lead. Wives, be a biblical wife. Submit, help, respect. As a newspaper columnist named George Crane told of the story of a wife who came into his office wanting to divorce her husband. She said, I not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to really hurt him as much as he's hurt me. Dr. Kane suggested a brilliant plan. He said, why don't you go home and act as if you really love your husband? Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind and considerate and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him, to submit to him. Make him believe that you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb on him. You want a divorce. Tell him that you're getting a divorce and you don't want to see him ever again. Then, and only then, will you really, really hurt him. That's what she did. So for 2 months, she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, reinforcing, sharing, submissiveness. She helped him where she could and respected him, showed gratitude. And when she didn't return, Dr. Crane called her and said, are you ready now to go through with the divorce? Divorce, she exclaimed. Never. I discovered I really do love him. Her actions changed her feelings. Now watch this. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love is established not so much by fervent promise as often repeated deeds. I know we want to be the right person. We must be the right person. We must behave the right way. We must be biblical in our marriage. Biblical in our marriage. Wives, be the biblical wife. Husbands, be the biblical husband. And let's together be obedient to God with our marriage. Let's pray.